I'm preaching from my grandpa's Bible today. 9th of May, 1961. He bought this Bible 56 years ago, and he was preaching in Pretoria at that time in an Anglican church in Sunnyside. And I have my mother and my mother-in-law here today, and I thought the greatest way that I could honor my mum is to preach from her dad's Bible. And so to say to my mum, love you dearly. You taught me the ways of God. And I used to hate it when we walked into a church and we always walked to the front row. I hated it. But it was a prophetic sign that somehow I'd always sit close to the front. And we thank you for your dad who showed you about Jesus. And I thank you for you who showed me about Jesus, Mum. And all those stories about mother-in-laws are true. Except for my mother-in-law, who is the most gracious and amazing lady, who's given me the most amazing wife. And next year we share our 25th wedding anniversary. It feels like yesterday. We honor you, Mum, for the things that you've taught your daughter and the blessing she's been to our family. To all parents who are visiting from out of town, you've come here with your children to church. I'd love you to just lift your hands if you're visiting with your children this morning. Can we give them a very big welcome? Thank you for not leaving. It's not easy when you see Father Christmas leading worship, eh? It's not your average church. So we're going to read out of the King James Bible today to make some of you feel at home. If you can stand, I know some of people are in wheelchairs and some people have just had operations. So, and the Foxies, it's nice to have you with us today. These are the guys who planted in Benoni, and now they come back to visit us. So let's give them a big hand. And it's going well in Benoni, eh, bud? Going power. So what we're going to do, if you can stand, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. If you can't stand, it's quite fine. We'll hopefully you'll be able to see the words on the screen. But this Bible my gran gave to me when I became an ordained minister on the 2nd of June 1996, 21 years ago. And it just reads better in the old King James. There's a word in the NIV, it says, he was the father of so-and-so and the father of so-and-so. In the King James, it says, he begat him. It's not the Afrikaans word, bakhat, it's just begat. It's an English word, begat. Say begat. Not a great word. Okay, you can put it up on the screen, please. We're going to read together. Okay, let's read together. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zara of Tamar. And Phares begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram. Phew! And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. Say Salmon. My mother-in-law's maiden name was Guppy. She can trace her roots all the way back to Salmon. And Mark fishes in this church. Don't laugh too loudly, Mark. Your family can probably get traced all the way back here too. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed and Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abinadab, and Abinadab. And Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. That word begats in the Greek word is the word genea, G-E-N-E-A, where we get our word genealogy from. So in your Bible, it'll say the father of the father of, but it's a genealogy. That's why I preach out of my grandpa's Bible, because there are many people here today, actually many even from the NGA church, who have given your children a spiritual inheritance. You've served God in this city for 30 or 40 years. and your children live in the blessing of you serving God. Where are we? Verse 9. And Ozad begat Jothan, and Jothan begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Ezekias. And Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abihud, and Abihud begat Zerubbabel. Okay, keep going. Let's go to verse 17. So the message today is the begats of Christmas. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Say 14.
14.
And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14. Say 14.
14.
And from the carrying away from Babylon into Christ are 14. Say 14.
14.
So they're either 3 14s or 7 6s. Both. The Jewish people would have understood this. 3 14s or 7 6s, and the verse says, and now the birth of Christ. So there were 7 6s or 3 14s, and then Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, they were engaged, being a just man or a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Get rid of the problem. But while he thought on these things, say he thought on these things. While he thought on these things, you see, it's one of those situations, you know, when you get married in January and your baby gets born in June. You know, in Pretoria East, they gossip about that thing. They say, that's quick. It was one of those situations. So while he thought about these things, because this would have been a scandal, worthy of the Woolworths on the corner of Woodlands. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Say, fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Say save.
Save.
He shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. You may be seated. It's nice to have the Howells here, our friends from Durban. Great friends of ours, served God for many, 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 many years together. You've been a great blessing to us. And I want to thank you very much, Mrs. Howell, for telling me to preach short today as you walked in the church. So I'll listen to you. Friends, it's an incredible text. We read it so many times, we sometimes lose the wonder of this text. But I want to share 6 very simple things from this text called the 6 calls of Christmas. The 6 calls of Christmas. And the first one is this. The call to deal with our disappointments. The call to deal with our disappointments. You see, this scripture from Abraham, from the first verse, until when Jesus was born, was 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And when the angel appeared to Mary and said that she was going to conceive a child, in her song in Luke chapter 1, she says, thank you, Lord, for remembering Abraham. That's how this scripture starts. Thank you, Lord, for remembering Abraham. I was speaking to somebody this week, and they went to their doctor and said they would like to start coming off antidepressants. And the doctor said to them, December is the very worst month to come off antidepressants. And they said, why? I said, because actually, it's the saddest month in the calendar year. And I thought, that is an unbelievable statement. I spoke to my sister today, this morning, and Christmas for her is not a happy time. Because she's got divorced recently, and it's the second Christmas without her husband, And so that which was celebrated for 25 years is actually a very painful time when a man who's been part of their life for so long is no longer there. And on this Christmas service last year, many of you would have left with incredible promise in your heart. God promised to bless me. God promised to give me a new job. God promised to heal me. And you're sitting a year later and the promise has not come to pass. And although many are happy, there's some in this room today that are disappointed. And this scripture is a reminder to us that the timing belongs to God, but the promise will always be fulfilled. The promise will always be fulfilled. And if you're sitting here today, because I'm a pastor and I know some of your situations, and I know some of your situations are very desperate. When you read Matthew 1, have faith that the promises of God will always come to pass. Leave the timing in His hands. Amen. Leave the timing in His hands. And so if you were trusting God, I met somebody yesterday who said, you know, 18 years ago, God promised me a husband and it has not come to pass, with a little bit of a quiver in her voice. And I said, ma'am, leave the timing to God. Matthew 1 says, I don't know if it takes 1 year or 3 years or 12 years or 10 years or 2,000 years. The promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. And so I pray, ladies and gentlemen, friends, visitors today, that if you've got disappointment in your heart, that you can leave here today, leaving the disappointment behind and trusting God again for the timing of the promise that He gave to you. The second call is a call to rest. 14 times 14 times 14, or 14 plus 14 plus 14 is 42. And then Jesus. If you read the book of Leviticus, it says 6 days and then the seventh. What he's actually showing is that he's just telescoping all the generations, not putting everybody in. He's showing them a picture that when Jesus was born, he was the fulfillment of the seventh cycle that came. And the seventh cycle is always a cycle of, say it, rest. Rest. A cycle of rest. 6 days a man shall work, and on the seventh day he will rest. And what it says, I turn 50 next year. What it says in the book of Leviticus, it says there will be seven cycles of six. And then there will be a seventh cycle. And then there will be the year of Jubilee. Say the year of Jubilee. They would blow a trumpet and they would shout the year of Jubilee. It was a declaration of complete freedom. And so it seems unbelievably unfair. But what would happen on the year of Jubilee is all your debts would be canceled. And everybody in the Old Testament got an allocation of land. Every person got an allocation of land. And through bad business decisions, poor management, crop failure, some people had to sell their land and their land became smaller and smaller and smaller. On the 50th year, they would declare the year of Jubilee, and everybody who had lost land got given their land back again. The call of Christmas is the call of the 7-7. That if you're sitting here today and you've made bad decisions that have caused you to lose land, Christmas is a message where God will give you your land back again. He'll give you your spiritual inheritance back again. When we come before Christ, we no longer have to work for it. We don't have to try and earn it. We don't have to achieve it. We come into the place of unbelievable rest. And so we should leave here today, because I've made some dumb decisions in my life. And when I read Leviticus chapter 25, it says in the 50th year, I'm trusting God in the 50th year to get back every piece of land that I've given up through decisions, choices, circumstances, experiences. I'm trusting God to give every piece of land back, and we should trust Him together. Christmas message is the call to rest. You with me? Incredible scripture. Number three, it's the call to be named. Where's a pregnant lady here with her husband? Is there a pregnant lady with her husband? Where are you? With your, you're pregnant. Why don't you stand? Awesome. You never knew. You never knew. Why don't you stand? And your husband. You're also responsible, my brother. When's your baby due?
30th of April.
30th of April. That is amazing. It's my son's birthday. Do you know if it's a boy or girl? You're not telling anybody.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Yeah. You should call him Rory. I mean, surely. Not Shirley, surely. You should call him Rory. And if you don't like Rory, then you should call him Jeff. And if you have any responsibility as a husband, you say to me, it's got absolutely nothing to do with you. You get out of the way. I said, but I'm a pastor. He said, I don't care who you are. I'm the father. This is my wife. And we have the privilege of naming our child. So do you mind getting out of the way? We like the name Rory, but it's not for our son. Thank you very much. Goodbye. We'll name him ourselves. Because a parent has the authority to name their child. But on Christmas Day, God says to Joseph and to Mary, you won't name your child. I will name my child. Because you will not manage Jesus. Jesus will manage you. You see, the naming rights, friends, of any situation. Thank you. You may be seated. The naming rights on Christmas Day belong to God, not to you. They belong to God, not to you. You see, we think in Pretoria East that we can name Jesus. You can play a little part in my finances. You can play a little part in my relationships. You can play a little part like, and God says, no, it's not going to work like that on Christmas Day. I'm going to name Jesus, and he's going to be your king, and he's in charge, and you must submit. That's the message of Christmas. You see, I named my son Mitchell. And he's known that name and he's known my voice since he was a child. And as he approaches an intersection to go across it, and there's a car coming, and I shout, Mitchell, he knows my voice, there's authority in his name, and he stops dead. That's the authority that it carries. And not only, friends, does a name carry authority, and the man who gives the name is the one in charge, but a name also carries content. So God says to Simon, you'll no longer be called Simon, a little stone, you'll be called Peter, the rock face where waves beat against it, because you will never budge from the gospel. I will call you Peter, the rock. I'll change your name. No longer will you be called Abram. You'll be called Abraham. You see, in Genesis chapter 11, they built a big tower that says, we'll make a name for ourselves. And God says, no, you won't. I will call you Abraham. Abram will become Abraham. And this genealogy starts when the name of God comes on us. You know how you discover your name, friends? You know how you discover what God's called you to? You just walk with him. And the more you walk with him, the more you discover your purpose on this. My purpose, I believe, on this earth is to show people what God the Father is like. And we never had a church service here yesterday. We canceled it because of today. And so I was busy preparing at my desk at about 8:45 yesterday morning. And I jumped up, I had a pair of short pants and tackies on. I said to my wife, I'm going to church. She said, why? I said, I don't know. I'm going to church. And I raced to church, 60 k's an hour. Raced to church. And as I got to the gate, there was a mum and her son at the gate. And the guard said, there's no service today. And she said, oh, we've traveled 100 kilometers to come here. And I was parked next to them. I said, I'm one of the pastors in the church. Let's go and have church on the veranda. And so we sat on the veranda in that little chair on the side there. And I know what God has called me to. And we sat talking, and I said to this young man in his 30s, I said, how old were you when your dad died? And he said, I was 15 years old. And he started to weep. And it's the smallest church service I've ever had at 3CR, but it's one of the best. And I could hold his hand and teach him about God the Father and pray with him and his mum. An incredible time, because God wants to name us, and then God wants to give us a purpose on this earth. The calling of Christmas is to be renamed according to his ways, not our ways. Amen? Number four. The calling of Christmas is a calling of courage. You see, Joseph, everybody thinks Joseph is a great guy, and he is. But if you read this text very carefully, Joseph was a righteous man. That means he had a pregnant girlfriend or pregnant fiance. And he was trying to get her out of the limelight, but he was also trying to get himself out of the limelight. Because you want to know, to make your girlfriend or your fiance pregnant in that day and age was a groot scandal. And so he's trying to get out of it, and God comes to him and says, fear not. Say, fear not. I want to say this to you, 3CI. For us to have an impact in our nation at this time, you're going to have to welcome Jesus into your house, and it's going to take courage. We have a government that is corrupt in its core. And that corruption is leading into every single sphere of SOEs. It's leading into every sphere of business. It doesn't matter if you're English or Afrikaans or black or white. It's inside. We know that. We've just seen one of the biggest businesses in our nation fall down on a 6 billion rand accounting loophole. And you and I have got to have the courage to stand up and say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. And I'm going to stand up for you wherever you have placed me, whether it's in the academic world or in the marketplace. I'm going to stand. I'm not going to try and get myself out of it. I'm going to stand and make a difference in this nation, because the righteousness of a nation brings the blessing of God. And Christmas, friends, is a message of the call to courage. And I appeal to every member of this church or visitor that we need courageous people to stand up in our educational systems, in our financial institutions, it doesn't matter what you do, in your tax purposes, to stand up and say, Jesus, we welcome you into our home. And we know that Joseph and Mary eventually found the courage. They welcomed Jesus in. They speak about Joseph and Mary, and they don't speak about any of the people around them that were causing disturbance around that decision. Amen? Number five, we're nearly done. Mrs. Howell? We're nearly done. Number five, it's not every day that some of you come to church. Sometimes it's only Christmas Day and Easter Day. So I want to tell you the good news about the gospel. Because this scripture says that Jesus came to save us. Say, save us from our sin. Say, save us from our sin. And so if you're a sinner, like every one of us are, you're in the right place today. I'm pleased you never stayed at home. I'm pleased you came to listen. Because this is what it says in Psalm 130. It says, Lord, if you kept a record of sin, who could stand? Lord, if you kept a record of sin, who could stand? So what that means is that sin has got the unbelievable ability to buckle us. Excuse me for telling this story again. But the only general ever arrested in World War II was a general called General Jonathan Wainwright. He was told by General Douglas MacArthur as he was fighting in the Philippines. He said, whatever you do not give up your ground. And after losing 4,000 men, General Jonathan Wainwright surrendered to the enemy and ended up in prison with no physical ailment except the feeling of guilt and shame and failure and disqualification. His back started to bend over and over and over until he ended up walking with a cane. And when he was released and they signed the peace accord on the boat, General Douglas MacArthur, in a godlike moment, after all the successful generals with unbelievable battle victories and everybody expected to be the man sitting next to the general, he got General Jonathan Wainwright to sit next to him and to sign the peace accord. And when General Jonathan Wainwright got up from that place, his back started to straighten as his dignity was restored and he started to walk up straight again. I want to tell you, Christmas is a message where people who are buckled over by disqualification, failure, debauchery and sin hear a gospel that takes condemnation and guilt off them and gets them to stand up straight again. I pray every man, woman, and child will walk out of this auditorium today with your disappointments left at the door of the Christ who keeps his promises, and your sin left at the seat of the one who paid a price, so that you don't have to live buckled over, but can stand up straight in Jesus' name. And you say, but you don't know what I've done, Rory. And I say, no, but you don't know what Jesus has done. He can get to the depths of your sin. He can get to the length of your sin. He can get to the width of your sin. He can get to the height of your sin, so that you on Christmas Day can be set free, because Jesus was born to set us free from our sin. And number six, and we close. It's a message of inclusion. It's a call to inclusion. We live in a conservative Christian environment. This genealogy, friends, in any genealogy that you ever read in these times, no woman was ever included. Jesus includes five women in his genealogy. Because the moment that Jesus came, women got set free. Wherever Jesus is preached properly, women get set free. Wherever Jesus is not preached properly, women live behind veils, sometimes physical veils, many times spiritual veils, oftentimes economic veils. But when Jesus is preached, women get full acceptance. Not only does he include women in his genealogy, he includes prostitutes. Maybe you're here today, ma'am. Maybe your form of income is prostitution. Oh, you see, we think sometimes we're all cool in the East. There's some dark things in the East. Maybe you're a prostitute. Maybe you're born out of incest. And inside of that genealogy is incest. And Jesus wrote this genealogy so that people who are outsiders can be included on the inside. Because Jesus includes. It doesn't matter where you've come from, what you've done. If you're a mobster, a gangster, a fraudster, this is a message of inclusion. Six things. It's a message, a call to deal with our disappointment. Although the timing might not be ours, the promise will always stand. Number two, 7 times 6, the seventh man brings rest, perfection. He restores the land that we've lost through stupidity or sin. Number three, it's a call to courage. We're going to have to stand up in this nation on Christmas Day. We have to welcome Jesus in so that we can bring righteousness into our land. Number four, he's got the naming rights, not us. He's got the naming rights, not us. Number five, it's a call to sinners to stand up straight because the price that he's paid is enough. And number five, if you're an outsider, Jesus came so that you can be an insider. You say, oh, but I'm a really bad outsider, Rory. It doesn't matter. Prostitutes, incest, pagans, it doesn't matter. Jesus included them in his genealogy so that today you could be set free. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. The Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. That whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Lord Jesus, I ask for your blessing, your kindness, your protection, your favor, your grace, your freedom, your forgiveness, your authority, your kindness, your care, your love, your power. Over every single person in this room today. Your favor, Lord God, your smile, your kiss, your hug, your concern, your future. Over every single person here today. Bless these people, I pray, Lord. Some feel far from you, Lord God, but you wrote this text so that today they can be close to you. I pray, Lord God, we would walk out of here today standing straight up, shoulders back. And I pray there would be a restoration of every piece of land. I declare the year of Jubilee, Lord, over these beautiful people. The year of Jubilee. This is the Christ who set us free. This is the day of Jubilee. This is the day that Christ has set me free. Bless these people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.